FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 5/28/20, almost through May. May was an amazing month. We saw the markets recover. We didn't see the country recover, but certain parts of it are opening up. We saw stimulus like never before pumped into the American economy. Is it going to help or do more harm in the long run? That's what we'd like to know. Well, there's more stimulus on the way. If Nancy Pelosi has her wish, well, you can't even imagine what's in her HEROES Act. But we'd love to hear from you and get your view on things, your take. And you can email us at kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. Right now, our good friend Daniel Greenfield is with us. Daniel, it's great to have you back on. We were talking about the HEROES Act, Nancy Pelosi's effort to pretty much fulfill the Democratic wish list and extortion list to get some stimulus out there to the people. I mean, where is she coming from here?
So the HEROES Act is the new House Democrat stimulus plan, which the House did pass. This thing is a huge monstrosity, the usual 1,600 page mess that hardly anybody can make through, and there's too many things there to find objectionable. But a huge chunk of the HEROES Act is really about helping illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's that about? Like, we have, I don't remember how many, 38 million Americans who are unemployed, although I expect that number will start going down shortly. And she's worried about illegal aliens?
I mean, that's the Democrat base. So point one is that Americans got stimulus checks, but illegal aliens don't qualify for stimulus checks. So HEROES Act is meant to remedy that by making sure that illegal aliens can also get stimulus checks. Point two, it actually protects illegal aliens from deportation and actually allows them to take jobs from Americans. So as you mentioned, there are over 30 million Americans. I mean, the number is changing, and it's the people out of work who are unemployed. Meanwhile, Pelosi, the Democrats, voted for a bill that will actually allow illegal aliens to compete with Americans in the so-called essential jobs area, which in this case means pretty much anything involving food.
Yeah, this sounds like quite a bit of madness here. Obviously, she doesn't have any expectation of getting this passed, right?
Well, with Republicans, you never know, but she might expect to get some piece of it passed. There's still a lot of people who are unhappy, people who are suffering, and anything Republicans pass has to be negotiated with the House. So if another stimulus bill comes up, it might incorporate some aspects of the HEROES Act, which would be a disaster because the HEROES Act, among other things, as you mentioned, it's a wish list of leftist priorities, but among other things, it basically offers a backdoor amnesty. So what I mentioned before, illegal aliens are allowed to take jobs from Americans. They're allowed to apply for jobs that Americans would want to have in the so-called essential industries. And point three, this is actually a deferral of deportation. Now, if you remember, the Obama administration deferred deportation for the so-called Dreamers, and when President Trump came into office, a Democrat federal judge basically stated that a deferral was as good as an amnesty. Once you actually defer deportation, you can no longer actually say that these people are now eligible for deportation. So you have this kind of deferral of deportation for illegal aliens who are so-called essential workers. This pandemic passes, everything's back to normal. You can still have Democrat federal judges saying, okay, these people were protected from deportation. They were deferred. This is now permanent. This is now permanent amnesty.
Oh, crazy. And they also want to do a vote by mail in all 50 states too, right?
Of course, and ballot harvesting and just basically turn the rest of the country into California with total voter fraud across the board. Then they never lose an election ever again. It's just like California. America becomes a one-party state.
Yeah, for sure. And it would work. It works wherever it's tried for certain. But don't you think people in California have reached the end of the line as far as California's politics are concerned with the lockdowns that seem to have no end in sight?
a certain percentage of the population is actually actively frustrated with the authority. A percentage of the population is practicing Irish democracy, which means they're going to go to the beach. Maybe they'll wear a mask or they'll just go out for a barbecue. They're not actually angry at Newsom per se. They're just they think of themselves as actually listening to orders. But, you know, we're just going to do what we're going to do. And really, for Republicans, recruiting these people, waking them up would be really crucial, getting them to take the red pill. And there's a large portion of the population that is still very much bought into this. They're happy to work from home. They will wear masks. They will report people who open so-called non-essential businesses. And this is really the hardcore Democrat base.
Yeah. So the hardcore base isn't moving, but nobody's happy here. Do you think the whole pandemic can result in a paradigm shift here, Daniel?
It's already resulted in a paradigm shift, just not a good one. We've had people accepting that governors, the mayors have basically unlimited authority, that assorted experts who are unelected can put everybody into quarantine, millions of healthy people. We've had the declaration that the Bill of Rights doesn't matter. The Ninth Circuit Court out here just actually ruled that the Bill of Rights essentially doesn't apply until there's a cure, which is a really horrifying conclusion. That's a ruling by an Obama judge and a Clinton judge. So there's been a huge paradigm shift of the relationship between people and the government, between the entirety that politicians can declare some people essential and other people non-essential, and restrict those people who are so-called non-essential from working, from even leaving the house. I mean, these are all paradigm shifts, just in a very bad direction. The fact that so much of the country has been willing to accept it should be no end disturbing, because when you look at the polls, even a majority of Republicans accept some of the basic premises here.
They do. Well, don't you think, though, as it's gone on, first they said it was to flatten the curve. Now it's till there's a vaccine. I mean, people, aren't they kind of getting an idea that something's wrong here?
You know, the problem is we pay attention. A lot of your listeners are paying attention to this stuff. A lot of the general public is not paying attention. I'm sure your listeners just know this with experience with the kind of discussions they have with family members or apolitical friends. Those people just largely listen to the media. They don't pay close attention to the rationales. What they keep hearing is, we are all in this together. Stay home, safer at home. And, you know, if you follow the rules, you save lives, and it's not political. So this is really the message that they've absorbed. And getting them to see past that is really challenging.
So this is like Big Brother here, huh? Coming, everybody's worst nightmare happening, and it happened so quickly. And, I mean, we've seen a lot of demonstrations. We've seen companies rebelling. So even Elon Musk lay it on the line to California, and they folded. So if enough people do this, they can stop it, right?
Yeah, they can stop everyone. The whole point is to ensure general compliance. They can arrest individuals. They can target individuals. They can't stop everybody. And that's the big picture. That's where they have to use propaganda. If they actually had the ability to force everybody to comply, then they would need this constant, we are all in this together propaganda.
Yeah, and ignorance through strength, you know, right? Strength through ignorance.
Yeah. Slavery is freedom. Freedom is slavery.
Yeah.
Stay together, pull apart.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just keep them divided. Well, you know, I just remember reading 1984, Orwell's 1984, and everybody had a screen in their home, and it was connected to Big Brother, to the state, and they told you that you had to exercise in the morning, and every bit of your life was controlled. And that seems to be the model for these forces, both Democrat and Republican.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Financial Survival Network is brought to you today by Orin Resources, a junior exploration company with the appetite of a major. It's hot on the trail of the next globally significant discovery, creating enormous potential upside for you, the shareholder. Orin is one of the most aggressive exploration companies pursuing high-grade, scalable gold and copper deposits, and has a premier seven-project portfolio, including its two flagships, Committee Bay in the Arctic and Sombrero in Peru. Orin's unparalleled technical team and highly experienced management has a history of success in advancing and monetizing exploration assets. No wonder Orin's been called one of the best in the junior exploration sector. Orin trades on the TSX and the NYSE under AUG. To learn more, go to orinresources.com. That's AURYN resources.com.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
It definitely is. I recall a few months back, my phone out of the blue started screaming at me about mask regulations because apparently I'd left the public safety announcement thing on. And now back in China, the contact tracing apps that they're using are much more ambitious than ours. They're planning to actually use it to rate everybody and give them a health score, measure how far they've walked, how much exercise they're getting, are they drinking wine, are they sleeping enough, and regulating their lives completely using that kind of system. And our systems are just set up to do the same thing. We've had contact tracing built into our phones by Apple and by Google, which are capable of very closely monitoring everything that we're doing. So the next step is indeed a kind of health fascism.
Yeah, but it's all to keep you safe, right? It's all to help you.
Oh, yeah. It's all for our own good. I mean, all liberalism is for our own good. They're taking away our freedom for our own good. Why would anyone question it?
Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, what's next? Are we going to have these wide-scale rebellions if they don't open up these blue states? And one other thing I would point out, the nursing home deaths. Somewhere around 40% of the COVID-19 deaths in the country taking place in nursing, coalescent, long-term care homes. And in the blue states, where it's been disproportionate, Michigan, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, and they don't even attempt to justify it, Daniel. You know, it shows me there's a complete lack of empathy and a complete lack of caring on the parts of these leaders, and yet they keep getting elected.
So we were told initially that this is about flattening the curve. Instead of actually protecting the people who were the most vulnerable, what flattening the curve meant was we're going to shut everything down to prevent the hospitals from being overloaded. Now, to prevent the hospitals from being overloaded, they took patients with coronavirus, they sent them to nursing homes. Unsurprisingly, coronavirus spread on a huge scale, particularly in nursing homes in New York and New Jersey, which have had over 10,000 nursing home deaths. This was a direct result of actions taken by Governor Cuomo, by Governor Murphy in New York and New Jersey, and Michigan by Governor Whitmer, and California by Governor Newsom, who specifically ordered nursing facilities to accept coronavirus patients and told them they could not refuse to do so. Now, you're introducing coronavirus at this point into the population that is the most vulnerable. Meanwhile, hospitals were never actually overloaded. The whole myth of the overloaded hospital was that, yes, some ICUs were a bit stressed, but ICUs are pretty small. It doesn't really mean very much. It didn't mean that people were about to start dying in hallways the way they were in Italy, which is what they threatened us with. Now, the whole lockdown plan actually took emptied out hospitals. It means that medical workers, about 1.4 million medical workers have been furloughed or out of work. It means that some medical facilities are closing, some hospitals are closing. Meanwhile, very few patients were actually treated. We have these huge hospital ships. We have these huge temporary hospitals that were set up that hardly treated anybody at all. And coronavirus was introduced like a wildfire in nursing homes, killing. At this point, we still don't actually have the actual numbers. Some state governments, like Governor Whitmer in Michigan, are still refusing to actually hand over the nursing home numbers. And the nursing home numbers are only partial because they measure the people who died of coronavirus in the nursing home. If a person from the nursing home was taken to the hospital and died of coronavirus there, even if they died 5 minutes later, that's not counted as a nursing home death. Yeah, so the actual numbers are in some cases utterly horrifying. Yeah. We've had 200 people die within a single month. And it's not just private nursing homes, which the media is focusing on. Two out of three of the veterans homes in New Jersey had the worst outbreaks. Those are state-run in New Jersey. The old soldiers home in Holyoke in Massachusetts also really three of the top five outbreaks, worst outbreaks, were in state-run nursing homes. There should absolutely be a reckoning for this. Unfortunately, there isn't because, again, the media is largely burying the actual story. They're focusing on some sort of nonsense and some sort of faked outrage with the Central Park story. Meanwhile, they're ignoring the deaths of tens of thousands of senior citizens, of grandmothers and grandfathers who were killed through actions taken by Democrat governors.
Yeah, so true. So true. And it's just it's really a crime. And as far as I'm concerned, it's really negligent homicide. That's what we're really looking at here. It's really, I mean, you could make an argument that it's even worse than manslaughter, but at the least, it's negligent homicide. Where is the Justice Department to investigate all this? Do they have to wait till the end, or shouldn't they be investigating it now?
They absolutely should be. There should be consequences. Unfortunately, I'm afraid they won't be, because, again, there'll be the same excuse you've had throughout lockdown. We're just doing our jobs. We're just trying to keep people safe. This is what experts told us. Or, as in the original German, we were just following orders. Mm-hmm. So the health department told us to do this. Over in Pennsylvania with Governor Tom Wolf, their health expert, Dr. Richard Rachel Levine, gave the order to actually force coronavirus patients into nursing homes. Meanwhile, Dr. Levine moved his own father out of a nursing home, his own mother out of a nursing home, because these people knew perfectly well this was a terrible idea. None of them kept their parents in the nursing home. Cuomo did not have his mother in the nursing home. So they knew perfectly well this would actually kill people. They knew it. You have Cuomo now saying, well, you know, vulnerable people are going to die of the virus. After shutting down everything, costing the economy trillions of dollars, causing a huge spike in suicide cases. Now the response is, well, these people would have died anyway. So why do we shut down the entire country?
Yeah, they're going to die. Well, and that really is the truth, that a lot of these elderly people who are frail were going to die anyway. And I don't want to be cold about it, but that is the truth. But that doesn't mean that you go out of your way to kill them, right?
I mean, exactly. This was at best euthanasia. So they deliberately introduced coronavirus patients into nursing homes. Yes, some of these people would have died. The staff tends to carry these things in. But at the same time, introducing coronavirus patients into facilities where they're going to spread the virus is just murder, frankly.
It really is. Genocide. It really is. And they need to pay for this. I just wonder if they ever will. But we can hope that justice will prevail. Daniel, where's the best place to read your work these days? Frontpagemag.com?
Frontpagemag.com is the best place. I've also got my own site, danielgreenfield.org.
All right. No more Sultan Kinnish?
That's the one.
Yeah, we love Sultan Kinnish. I personally, Daniel, have been reading it for probably 10 years. I think you've been doing it longer than that, right? You almost from the beginning.
At this point, I think it's coming on over 15 years. So.
Oh, my God. Well, then it's over 10 years. I mean, going back to Free Republic, kind of the birth of activist internet, that's when I discovered you there. And I've always read your work and always thought highly of it. And that's what makes me happy that you come on the show and really spread your wisdom. Anyway, questions for Daniel, myself. KL@KerryLutz.com. That's the email address. KL@KerryLutz.com. Twitter is @KerryLutz. And you can just go to the financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for the free newsletter. Daniel, we do so much appreciate the work that you do and appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all the work you do.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.